book of 1 John. We're going to begin reading at verse number 1. Aren't you glad God is faithful?
Amen.
Even when we are not faithful, God is faithful. Amen?
Amen?
So we should really be thankful today that instead of just wiping us out, He just made a way for us to know Him and to love Him. Made a way for us to be forgiven. Made a way for us to have communion with Him. Made a way for us to have fellowship with each other. Because God is faithful. He is always moving to draw us to Himself. He's always working to bring us into what He has planned for our lives. I want you to know today that God has something in store for us that is mighty. We don't know what it is. We don't know what the circumstances would be. But God has something for us individually that we might recognize His power and authority, His greatness, His love, and His grace. Because man gets all messed up at times, don't he? Don't we get all confused and we don't know what to do, which way to go? And certainly we live in a day where that's like. You're almost uncertain which way to go when you get up in the morning, what's happened during the night, or what is going on in the minds of man. The Bible says that God is truth, and every man's a liar. So we have to realize that whatever God says, God means it. He didn't say it just to make us feel good. He didn't say it just to scare us. He made it because it's truth, and it will always be truth. So let's stand and honor God's word as we read the Bible. Hope you all have your Bibles with you, because a man will lie to you, and God will what? Be truthful. That's right. John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Father, thank You for this day that You've given us. Thank You for the word of God. Thank You that we might read it, Lord, and it challenge us. The statement that John has made here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is a powerful, powerful charge to the believer. Those who name the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray as we read this scripture that we can realize that He's talking here to believers, those who believe that Jesus is Lord. This letter was written to the brethren. So, Lord, I pray as we read this that we can understand there's some things that happens in our lives that if we're not careful, that, Lord, we sever that fellowship that You have made possible for us. So today as we go through this message, I pray you'd challenge each one of us. That, Lord, that we would look at the Word of God as it being the Word of God. as it being the instructions from our Heavenly Father on how to live our lives in a way that might continuously bring fellowship with Him, with the Son, and with each other. Lord, I pray there's one lost and undone here today, that the Word of God would speak to their heart and draw them to You. I pray at home, I pray for those that are there, I pray that the message today would speak to their heart. I pray, Lord, that today we'd be drawn closer together with You and with one another. We pray for the ones that are here that are discouraged. We pray that You'd encourage them. We pray Your will to be done, whatever that is, Lord, and we'll glorify You for it. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. You can be seated. I don't know if you know it or not, but I think everybody will agree with this, that in some point at least, we are living in some challenging times. We're living in some times where men have, I think for a big part of that, has either we become so brave about things, or we've either lost enough of our minds to be able to say nowadays that good is bad and bad is good. We look at the things where the Bible says, and now being warned that you better be careful what you say, because if you speak the truth of what God says, you might be facing some difficulties. But I want us to know, and I want all humanity to know, that God loves every single person. There's not a single one that God does not love. There's not a single one, the Bible says, that God does not desire that they would be saved. The Bible says it's not His will that any should perish. So when we perish, it's our own doing, because we have not believed the account that God has made from the very beginning of time. So in that sense, we become to the place where we become so involved in the things around us, we forget that God means what He says and says what He means. The Bible says here in Isaiah 5:20, says this: woe to those who might call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who puts bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God says woe unto them. That woe is a frightening statement, because God has said, you better be careful here, because there is a condition, or there is a penalty that has to be paid if you do this. Our minds get all confused with the way things are today. We don't know which way to go and what to do. And it fills the church so full of the thinking of the world that we forget that we're supposed to be different. We forget that we're supposed to be like Christ. We are to be holy before the world. We're to live our lives in a way in such love with God that we can't help but be in love with everybody else. That we so much love God that we're not judgmental of other people. We in such love with God that our hearts are turned and burned for that soul that might, except we tell the truth, spend eternity separated from God in the place the Bible calls hell, the lake of fire. A place the Bible says burns forever and ever and ever and ever. So we have to be careful here. Well, you know, it's got to the place where churches are so afraid of being churches that they become the center of most activity that is not biblical. Now, there's nothing wrong with what people do, but whenever we use our churches and never tell the whole story of what God's love is and what God's story and what His judgment is, we're not doing justice for the people that God has saved us. And they've given us the task of sharing the good news. So we have to be faithful to that. Instead of just being a gathering place, instead of just being a place where social events happen, instead of just being a place where things are done for the community, and yet we miss out on the gospel. Because we can be busy about tons of things, but the one thing we cannot slack on, and I'm afraid that churches are slacking on this, even us, is sharing the gospel. We cannot afford to let that fall to the side. And yet we think about the world, and we think about how we are, and we don't want to ruffle any feathers. And I know I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I try not to ruffle any feathers, although that doesn't always happen, because I know that the Word of God, when we speak the Word of God, somebody's feathers is going to get ruffled. As an old pastor of mine said, you know, you don't want to take a cat and rub it the wrong way. A cat just don't like it. So if you begin to rub the cat the wrong way, you got to pick the cat up and turn it around. And that's the way it is with us. If we start doing things that God does not like, that God's Word says is not proper, what we have to do is get our lives turned back around. Because the one thing we do not want, we don't want to lose that fellowship that we have with God. Now, fellowship is important. I'm not talking about relationship. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about our everyday relationship with God. That walking with Him, talking with Him, feeling the very presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about just the everyday average things that we do. We should be filled with the fellowship of God every day. But there's some things that's happened. And those things that have happened, happened not only in this church, but they happened in a lot of churches. And here John is showing us some things. I think there's three things here that we need to look at, because three things that men have got confused about has mixed up in their minds, and they're living this kind of life, and we have no fellowship. With no fellowship, there is no relationship. With no relationship, there is no community of believers. We're just a community of people. So we have to be careful. So the first thing I want us to look at, the very first thing is we find here that John is talking about, is that men say they can have fellowship with God and still walk in sin. It happens everywhere. Churches are filled with people who come to church. We have our suits and ties on. At least a lot of days now, we don't have suits and ties on. But we dress properly. We come to church. And when we come to church, there's one thing missing. And that is the holiness and the presence of God in our own lives. We come in and we do our duties, whatever that might be. And so what we want to understand is, why is this happening? Why are we so confused about our lifestyle and what it means to walk in holiness? God is holy. Therefore, the Bible says we should be holy. And that just simply means this. We should be separated. We should be different. Now, I don't mean separated in the sense that I don't want to have anything to do with you. I mean separated in the sense that my life is so consumed with God that the love that God has for you, I have that same love for you. But whenever we walk in sin, that can't be able, we cannot accomplish that. So what happens, we live our lives out during the week, and our lives are filled with here and there with all kinds of stuff that is improper. And then we come to church and we forget that, you know, I'm supposed to be a light in the community. I'm supposed to be the one that the people look at and say, that's the kind of person I want to be. God has really touched that person's life. God is doing something miraculous through that man or through that woman. Because if we get confused about what God wants us to do, we're living our life void and empty. But now listen. Think about the world. Jesus Christ, who loves us so passionately that He took off the Shekinah glory of God, robed Himself in this old weak, frail flesh that we have, and came into this world for the purpose of saving us. Why is it that man has either rejected or at least object to the deity of Jesus Christ? Why do they object to His work that He's come into this world to do to save sinners? Why are they so obstinate against the words when He says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through him. He said, I am the door. If any man comes, you have to come through the door. And why is it that man so opposes that? What is wrong with living a life that is holy? What is wrong with living a life that is good and giving and caring? What is wrong with that kind of life? I don't know. The world has lost its mind. We think if we're not tangled up in what the world says and what the world does, if we would just live by the Bible, if we would just live by the Word of God, this world would be in so much better place. If God's people would rise up and act like God's people. Now, I tell you this, when we get to heaven, the ones in heaven is going to act like God's people. We won't have to worry about a single person being there that has some problem with who Jesus is, that has some problem with what salvation is. We won't have one person up there that disagrees with what Jesus says. Wouldn't that be a wonderful place to be? Well, did you know we can mirror that image right here? Jesus said, pray and say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, what he's saying here is let's just take ourselves, pour ourselves into him, and let him pour himself out through us. It's a big difference in that. But somehow we think that we can do whatever all during the week and not at all have to live holy. Now, there's four things I want us to look at. And why we get confused is because the world is confused about God. See, this world is filled with darkness. All there is a light we can see, there is a darkness in the spiritual realm that we must see, that we can't see, unless God opens our eyes to see. This world right here, and there's only one way to understand what God's doing, because when he come into this world, it was filled with darkness, filled with sin, filled with no way to him at all. So God does something. John said, we have seen it. It's been manifested to us. We have handled him. We know exactly who that is. In John, Gospel of John says this. Said, in the beginning was the Word, in chapter 1, verse 1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. John is saying here, listen. Christ come into this world that was filled with darkness, no hope. And the one that has brought in here has brought hope. He's brought life. He's brought us something that we can hang on, something we can see with, something that we can understand because Jesus is light. He's the light of God. John 3:19 says this, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. Were evil. See, we can't even be sure that God exists. Man cannot even be sure that God exists. We are been severed from God. Severed in the garden. Everything that there was in Adam that brought that understanding of who God was and is was severed. And man had no way of knowing anything about the light of God because, listen, God is a spirit. The Bible says God is a spirit. And we that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is not a man like we are. And so therefore, we cannot in no way were we able to move into the spiritual realm to see God. Why? Because it had been severed. We are all dead in our trespasses and sins is what the Bible says. So all of us was missing the mark. None of us was at the place where we were able to see who Christ was, see who God was, see if he even existed. But yet, listen, he had written it all in everything he created. Nothing has been created that God's writing is not in. He showed himself from the very beginning. And man became blind and separated, walking in darkness. So what happens? If we can't go to him, what do we do? If we can't see him, what do we do? If we can't hear him, what do? Well, we don't do anything. We can't do anything. But he has done everything. He done what we could not do. The Bible says in Romans 6:10-6, but the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend up to heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Who in the world can ascend to heaven and bring Christ down? No one. Not a single person. So God had to do something. He had to do something we couldn't do. And he had to intervene in what he had created for who he had made fellowship with and yet had been severed. So instead of us going to God and bringing God down, guess what? God come down to us. And John said that he had manifested himself, and here's he showed himself, and we've seen him. We can testify to you that this is him. And he proved that by the fact that he came out of the grave. That sealed it. He is God in the flesh. God has come down, and all the miracles that he'd done. You know the Bible says that if they'd written down everything Jesus had done, there wasn't enough books in the world to hold it. He had showed himself magnificently. Showed himself without a doubt. And yet man, even today, gets confused and think that we can walk with the holiness of God and live in sin. We can't do that. See, sin severs our relationship or our fellowship with God. It brings us to a place where we cannot have communion with him. And that's what this is all about, this life we live. It's about having communion with him. John said, remember, that we have to walk in the light. What is the light of God? If we reject God and declare he's not true, how can we have fellowship with him? How can we know him? How can we even be a part of the kingdom of God? What is the light of God? Well, we know it's the Son of God. We know that much because the Bible says it is. But what is the light of God? How do we receive the light of God? As a believer, I'm talking about that one who's been born of God. Where do we receive the light? How can we walk in that light so I can have fellowship with him? And because I'm having fellowship with him, I'm going to have fellowship with everybody else. That's just the natural flow of it. We can't have fellowship with him without having fellowship with each other. And we can't have fellowship with each other without having fellowship with him. It's a strange cookie. What did they used to call it? A catch-22. They are so interwoven together that one is impossible without the other. So we have to understand that God wants us to walk in truth, but where do we see that truth? We see that truth in what Jesus Christ has done on Calvary's cross. That light there that he showed us was that there was a penalty that must be paid. There was a separation that would take place. We have to understand, when Jesus hung on that cross, when he hung on that cross, bearing our sins, yours and mine, when he hung on that cross, carrying the sins of the world on his shoulders, the Father separated himself from him. It never happened before. Never happened. There was never a time when they were not in constant fellowship. But because of sin, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The light was shining. The light was shining in this world because Jesus carried the cross and paid that ultimate price so that we might have life and that we might have fellowship. We see it in the work of what Jesus Christ has done. We see it in his word. We have to have time in the word of God. If we don't have the word of God in our lives daily, there's part of the day we're walking in darkness. We have to have something that the Holy Spirit would take in our minds and just fill our minds with the presence of God, the truth of God, the power of God, that we have learned from the Scriptures in our time of prayer and meditation. It is the Word of God that is without error, not the Word of man. So whatever the Bible says, then we must stand on the Word of God. And listen, it will not be popular now, and it will not be popular in the future. But the Word of God is the power. The Word of God is the light. And without the Word of God, the Bible, we might not ever see the light from Calvary. The Bible says that it is through the foolishness of preaching to save them which are lost. That's God's method. If someone get up and proclaim the Word of God, now it didn't say pastor it. Didn't say it pleased God to save people through pastoring. It says through preaching. Through the preaching of the Word of God. That's you and me. You are the proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all have a story to tell. If we don't tell that, it's like a flashlight in the night. If we're not out there sharing the light that he's given us, we're just walking in darkness and nobody else around us can see. So we have to focus on that. Listen to what the Bible says. Romans chapter 1. Says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. He said, the wrath of God is revealed. We know that it's wrong to walk in unrighteousness. He said, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. No, wait a minute. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. Did you catch that? It says here, because that which may be known of God is already manifested in them. It's already there. Already there. He says, for God has showed it unto them. God's not going to leave anybody in the dark. He's going to shine that light. The Bible says he gives every man a measure of faith. What we do with that comes by how much we love the world. Now listen to this. He said it's already been manifested to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Don't say they're capable of being seen. It says they're clearly seen. No mistaking it. All right? And then he says, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Wow. What God is saying here is that he has shined the light, manifested himself to us, and if we do not receive that light and participate in that light, what we're doing, our hearts will become foolish, darkened by sin, and we will be foolish and do foolish things. We will worship things that is not him. We will worship things that has no power. Worship things that won't mean one thing in eternity future. But when we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we fellowship with him. And when we're fellowshipping with him, all that sin that we do, guess what it does? He forgives us of everything. Those things that we knew and those things that we didn't even realize we had done, he forgives it all through that fellowship with him. What a marvelous, marvelous God we have. The blood of Jesus cleanses every mistake we've ever made. And I'm thankful that when he offered himself that sacrifice, that once for all sin, it meant those sins that I might commit tomorrow. It meant those sins I might commit next year. Because there is no other name given whereby man must be saved but at the name of Jesus. He's a glorious Savior. He's a glorious Lord. And he wants us to walk in the light and flee from the very appearance of evil. Flee. It don't mean just sort of ignore it. It means get up off our backside and run as fast as we can to get away from it, because it might overtake you and you stumble. We don't want that to happen. And then another one that we like to think sometimes is that man can be sinless. All right? I remember sitting in the hospital some years ago, not that many years ago, and this nice lady was sitting there. We were talking, having a good conversation. And she said, you know, I don't think I've committed a sin in probably 10 or 12 years. I can't think of a single thing I've done for 10 or 12 years. I said, well, you just done one. She said, what? I said, the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. So just to say I haven't sinned in 10 years, we've sinned. She said, well, it does. Yes, it does. See, the thing about this is if we say we have no sin, we deceive our own selves. James said that. Not this James. James said that if we are not doers of the word and just hearers of the word, we are deceiving our own selves. And what he said is we think we are something when we're not. Because there is no way in the world that we can be sinless. If that be the case, that be what this means is, at some point in my life, at some moment of time, I am righteous enough to go to heaven without Christ. And that's impossible. So every moment, we need the blood of Christ. Now, I'm not saying every moment we sin. We should walk in holiness. We should walk without sin. But guess what? Man is wrapped in a sin maker flesh. And we're not going to get no better at this thing. Because the Bible says we're just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. I know a lot of good people. But when God looks at all of us, I don't care how good we are, how generous we are, how caring we are, how loving we are, when God looks at us, he sees we've missed the mark. We are filled with iniquity. In other words, we've not able to meet that level mark with God. So we had to have a Savior. And he said, but if you do sin, hold on now, we're all going to sin. We should flee from it. We should hate it. We should do everything we can to avoid it. Anybody ever been doing real good and then something happens and your mind just thinks something that it shouldn't think? Like, you know, like somebody cut you off on the road or something like that, or something happened, and you know, maybe somebody just gets a promotion. You think, well, that guy didn't deserve that. He's a deadbeat. And it makes you mad, and then you begin to think bad things. Our mind is one of the most, how would we say this, well-fitted playground for the devil. He'll get in there in between our ears, and he'll lie to us because he can't tell the truth. If he says anything, he's a liar. Because he can't say the truth, he's the father of lies. If he began to speak truth, he would twist it and turn it to where it's a lie. And he'll get right in between these ears of ours, and he'll have a heyday on our playground. And if we're not careful, we'll slide down the slide the wrong way, and we'll end up in the mud of life. Because there's no way. If we could just realize that there is that place in us where we do not always hit the mark, and that every moment I need Christ, and at every moment I need to have fellowship not only with Christ but with his people. That's what I hate about this thing going on right now. I'll say I hate it. That the church of God has to set outside the walls and can't be united together. I hate that. Because this right here is so important in our lives. We have to have it. I'm going to tell you, if I didn't come around Wanda but once every 10 months, she might not let me in the house when I got there. I'm pretty sure she wouldn't let me in the house. And I understand, because believe me, I was at the doctor this week. He scared me to death. He really did. He said, you are an extremely high risk. And this thing is hotbedding right now. I wanted to go crawl in the closet when he said that. But I love being with God's people. I don't want to get too close to you. Especially now. But I will bump. If I get too close, I'll put on a mask. I want to stay healthy. I've got a 30-year plan ahead of us. Isn't that nice? And guess what? You can't have a 30-year plan if you're not here. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us. We will never go to him and say, Lord, look at this thing I've done again, and he will never say, well, forget it. Once is enough. I've done and forgive you for that too many times already. You just going to have to live with that one. Or you're going to have to die with that one. It'd be a better way to say it, wouldn't it? You're just going to have to die and spend eternity in hell. I'm so thankful that even though we cannot be sinless, we can be saved. Amen? That's a good thing to know, isn't it? The third thing is, we is no way that we can be righteous. Right with God. No way. On our own selves. The Bible, because the Bible says, if you say you have sin, you're just lying. And listen, if we say we have no sin, who do we call a liar? Are we calling ourselves a liar? No, the Bible says we're calling God a liar. Now, I don't know about you. I do enough against him without looking at him and calling him a liar. Amen? So if he says something, guess what? I better believe it. If I don't believe it, I'm calling him a liar. And if I call him a liar, I'm going to have to stand before him and give account of that lie that I've called him. But there is no way that we can stand before him and be right all the time. Anybody done a sin this week, committed a sin? Anybody want to stand up and share what that was? No, I know we don't. And I don't want you to. But what I do know this, although I don't want to know it, God already knows it. And we cannot fool him. And you know, we cannot say, God, look at me. I am right. I am righteous. I'm holy. And he'll say, oh, you call it be a liar. So, since we can't be perfect, since we are still robed in this flesh, and since God has sent the light, and since he has revealed to us who Christ is, then we can walk in the righteousness of Christ. We cannot be righteous, but Christ is already righteous. See, on the cross, he piled all. Can you imagine? I hate that he bore my sins because mine are so many. Mine are so many. But he not only bore mine, he bore everybody in here and everybody out there. All of our filth, ungodliness, unrighteousness, unholiness, all of our evil, all of our distrust, he bore all of that. When he took those sins upon himself, you know what he gave us? He didn't give us a single sin back. Did you know that? What he gave us was his righteousness. So no, we can't be righteous. But if we see the light, walk in the light, have fellowship with the light, God has already gave us the righteousness that we need. And it's not Damon Lee's because that would be pitiful. So this morning, let's think about, have we confused ourselves with this stuff? Don't let what's going on around us pull us into unbelief. Don't let what's happening around us take me out of fellowship. There are things that we can do to have fellowship. I mean, there's that thing called texting. There's things we can stay in touch with one another with. There's things we can do to show that we care. But we need to realize that we can be deceived, but God will not. We might have become foolish in our thinking, and we might have some misconceptions about some things, but God is in control. Amen. Father, we love you. We're thankful for this day you've blessed us with. We're thankful for the opportunity, Lord, to share out of the Word of God. Lord, we pray just now